กดสูตรเดียวnext slide please next slide please
sorry Dale I'm just going to minimize my screen I'm struggling to
Okay, so great. So just go one slide back. Paida, can you go one slide back?
Okay, sure. I'm not sure what's happening, but I think I'm going to try and share again.
Mouse?
No, I'm using my trackpad.
Okay, so what you could do is that you click on the site before you use the arrows, and that can help you move the site.
Okay. Can you see my screen now?
Oh, yes, I can. So thank you. So the aim of the Sickle in Africa Consortium are two. One is to really facilitate research in the area of sickle cell disease in Africa. And why so is because we know that Africa has a unique population who suffer from sickle cell, and the population leads to a lot of phenotypic patients, especially when you know how diverse the disease of sickle cell is. So you find in a part of Africa, you have a lot of people suffering for ulcers in the legs, for example, in West Africa. And in East Africa, you can have a high suffering stroke where you may not see it in other countries. The second bit is, the second bit is what we hope to be one of our main game changers, to look at the translation of research into improving healthcare outcomes and also improving the healthcare of people living with sickle cell. We are aware that people with sickle cell contribute a high percentage of morbidity and mortality in the African context. And in Uganda, for example, we know that close to about 80% of our people who live with sickle cell disease die within a very short time. So we are just seeing a tip iceberg of people who actually have sickle cell disease in our country. Next slide, please. So who are the partners in the Sickle in Africa initiative? There's basically three, and in no particular order, I would first start with the sickle. Okay, great. You can move to the next slide as I go through each of them. So, of several countries and universities, and they aim to develop research capacity for sickle cell disease through a multi-dimensional approach which addresses infrastructure, education, training, and provision of what we find is the most important, a longitudinal research database where we shall be able to collect a large number of people living with sickle cell disease and learn and understand from their challenges and hope that we'll be able translate some of the tricks and practice by improving their outcomes, and what we learn are the key learning points from all the that we do. Next slide, please. Second is the Sickle Africa Data Coordinating Center, and although I did not mention, SPACO has its main coordinating center in Tanzania or in Bili. There are several other countries that participate in SPACO group. We have Nigeria, we have Mali, we have Uganda, we have Zimbabwe, we have Zambia, we have Ghana as some of the main partners within the SPACO group. For the Sickle in Africa Data Coordinating Center, it's really a key coordinating center that helps in coordinating data and communication. And I'm very happy to say that webinar is actually as a result of that specific coordination. We have members who have been able to help us get that data, train us in how we use data, also to help us with the coordination within the network. Because of this, we can expand about research groups within the Sparkle. And then lastly, we have Sam. Slide, please. So we have this whole Pan-African network. This is really a collaboration of people who are willing to work together to improve the sickness of cell disease. And it is really a kind of, I'll call it almost a friendship network, because we have joined the project together as people who are interested in improving outcomes of living with cell disease. And one of the main aims of the network is to foster research and infrastructure development. My next slide, please. So I'd like to thank all of you at this moment for joining the webinar, and I think we can go straight to our talks. And I would like to request Valentina to take it off. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deo. Paida, can I share my slides? Yes.
Yes, you should be able to.
Yeah. Can you see my slides?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you very much, Paida and the Sickle Cell team, for inviting me for this talk. I'm really honored. I'm Dr. Gobitungi Valentina, and I'm a senior lecturer at the University of Chang, and I'm also a biologist in the National Public Health Laboratory in Yaoundé. So I'm a consultant in the SADC working group. So I will just talk about the challenges, as Leo said, as they were asked us to do, to talk about the challenges and the opportunities we can have for sickle cell disease research in Africa. So it's important to know that sickle cell disease is the most prevalent monogenic disease in the world, with the highest burden in sub-Saharan Africa. But it's not well known by the Africans. It is also a neglected disease in most Central African countries, because I will concentrate in Central African countries because Cameroon is in Central Africa. So in Cameroon, for example, we have no national sickle cell disease program. We have no specialization for the care of sickle cell disease. All the clinicians that have some skills on care of sickle cell disease do their training abroad. But we have some groups of individuals who are trying to move forward with the research of sickle cell disease. Here I can talk about the REDAC, the result they treat like drepanocytosis in Afrique Central, which is a network in Central Africa that is trying to understand and to do some research on sickle cell disease, and the GEDEPACAM, which is the study group of sickle cell disease in Cameroon that has the Congress last week. So it's important to conduct research to, it can have benefits of employment to those who do the research. It can enhance the economic activity of the population in a country. It can develop the understanding of the disease itself and decision making regarding the disease, as it can allow people to have like a national program of sickle cell disease that we don't have in Cameroon. So in Africa, especially in Central Africa, research is not well understood. And African research has very low percentage than other in the world. A study in 2015 or 2014 showed that in Africa, we have only 1% of researchers among all the researchers we have in the world. So, but Africa has some opportunities to do the research. We have human resources. That means during our curricula in at the university, we have during the bachelor degree or during the master's, the professional master's or the research master, the student has to do some research, though it's for a short time. They can do some research activity that is part of their curricula, and they will produce some research report. That is a bit what they are doing. We also have some senior researchers that are doing their PhDs in Africa and that can enter into research. We also have some independent people that have one or two grants to, on a specific topic that are used for the research. But many of them go to study abroad when they have the opportunity. They will just go out. And we also have some postdoctorates. There are few of them, very few of them in our countries that are doing some research. The other opportunity we have in Africa is to sample. We have the sample of everything. Not only for sickle cell disease, we can see for all the disease, we have samples, a huge number of samples. But now, what are the challenges we are having for the research? I will talk about the research for everything, because when we talk about sickle cell disease, it is, as I said, it is the least thing we think about in Africa. So I will talk about the research in whole. So to perform clinical research in developing countries has multiple barriers. We have first the lack of information. We usually notice that after a student did the master or PhD, he will stop there because he don't know where to have the information to have funding. We have the lack of funding. There are not many studies that are found, and we don't have many found on our studies. We have a lack of writing skills. Even though we can do some small research, but we don't know how to write like a grant, how to write a paper that can be brought out to permit a funding. We have a very low demand from the research by the policymaker. The policymaker are not really interested in what is happening in research in our context. We have the scarcity of mentors. Can mentor us in Africa. We don't have any planning. We don't have moral and financial incentive. We have shortage of time. As I said, usually when we have a study to do, we just do for 2 months. When we product the report, we leave it like that and go away for other things. And we also have undeveloped health informatic structure that can help to bring out to build up a research program. So this is just a figure I got for a study for Lem et al. Who did it in Douala, who were bringing out the challenges Africa have to conduct researches. So as you can see here, we have the lack of interest or motivation to research. We don't know why we do research. The lack of research training. We don't have the training. We don't have the habit to do that. So we must form people for that. We have lack of resources. We have skills researchers immigrating overseas country. So every time when somebody knows how to do research, he will go elsewhere to do the research and will not implement it here in our country. We'll have a low publication rate. It's true that we are having some scientists that are coming up with some article, but we are still very, very behind on publication. We have low uptake of research by African government, as I said earlier. So we also look at the barrier, is also from that study, the barrier to the practice of research in Africa. We have the lack of training facility. Even though we want to do something, we don't have where to do it. For example, I was looking for the sickle in Africa. I didn't know where to locate the application to continue a research, for example. The lack of funding, I said that already, the lack of knowledge on where or how to publish a research. We have a lack of research opportunities because we do not have the information. We have a little or no career progression. Sometimes when somebody finishes his master's, he will say, if I go to research, what will I gain? He'll just go and look for a job where he will have money quickly. So that is another problem we have. We have the loss of interest and motivation, as I said. So this is another figure that presents the different challenges we can see about the government that is not having any interest, the African country with low provocation. But another thing we have that is very disturbing for research in the social and economic inequality we have, the conflict and forced displacement. Many African countries are always in fighting, and people, even though they can start something, they cannot continue because during the conflict time, they must go elsewhere, and the time they come back, maybe what they start have been destroyed. The government is not interested, and now there's the impact of climate change and the environmental fragility. What are the perspectives? Because we are talking about we have the opportunity, we have challenges, but we can do something to move forward. So we must try and raise the awareness of the importance of the research. We must not stop talking about that. We must try to provide training and enabling African researchers to produce and publish high quality research. In Sickle in Africa, in SADC, for example, sometimes Ambrose Wonkam will set up a time where we go to a place for 2 weeks and we come out with articles. We can do that. We can find another way to move forward for that. We must encourage collaboration and partnership among researchers. If we try to collaborate, I think maybe we can bring up something about research in Africa. We must encourage and provide facility for data sharing. We must try data sharing. We must collaborate. We must encourage government to invest more in research. That's not an easy task, but for some countries it's already effective, but in Central Africa, especially French-speaking country, is still difficult, but we must work toward that to make the government involved in research, and maybe it will take over. So we must create a database to track progress and identify research gaps, as they do now in Sickle in Africa, where they are doing a registry, and they are bringing out what problem can be searched to have a solution. So at for the end, just to resume, we must try to look more funding for Africa. We must train more people and give support for training, and we must seek for more collaboration. I think they have not spoken too much. So thank you very well for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Valentina, for the excellent presentation. I would just like to highlight one key that you mentioned: the need for more funding, the need for more training, the need for more collaboration.
Yes.
If everyone can just remember those three things: more funding, more training, and more collaboration, should be able to have a better postal image within Africa. Thank you, Valentina. Remind us all the fans, kindly post comments and questions in the chat. We'll also give ourselves an opportunity to have a Q&A at the end of the session. I would like to now welcome one of our collaborators from industry. I would like to welcome Fernando. Please make his presentation. Over to you, Fernando.
Okay, thank you so much. First of all, I want to thank the organizers of this webinar. I'm quite honored to be included among such esteemed leaders in the field. And so thank you to all. I do not have a presentation because someone told me that I didn't need one, so a bit embarrassing. But anyway, so just a little bit about myself. I've been involved with hemoglobinopathies for about 30 years. Working with different companies. I began in Southern Europe working a lot with thalassemia, and it's been a very big passion of mine. And it began when I saw children suffering from thalassemia majoris in Sicily, and all basically, you know, getting constant transfusions. And that has all, that image has always stayed with me. So initially I worked in putting together a network of leading scientists in the Mediterranean for them to exchange ideas and and work on improving the identification in particular of people suffering from different types of thalassemia. I then went to work in Latin America, and advocated for neonatal screening in Brazil, Colombia, and other countries. Currently, I work for a company, Trinity Biotech. I'm the executive vice president, and we are not part of a group of companies, the MECO Alliance, who is out of Korea, led by our chairman, Sung Kyu. I have always been extremely frustrated and will echo what was just said by our speakers of the lack of attention and the lack of visibility that hemoglobinopathies have around the globe. Brazil is a very good example where I went there and started looking into their mandatory neonatal screening and found, much to my surprise, that a disease such as cystic fibrosis was mandatory for neonates, but hemoglobins were not, which made absolutely no sense to me. And of course, it's the same old story that I find that oftentimes people that are afflicted by hemoglobinopathies maybe have a less political power than some other groups, stakeholders within a given country, and you end up with this inequality of no mandatory or no funding for neonatal screening for hemoglobinopathies, and you have these other diseases which are very serious but have much lower prevalence rates being mandatory in many countries. This is true even for my home country, Colombia, which only recently in the last 2 years has started moving towards mandatory screening of hemoglobinopathies in neonates. One of the, I think, duties of industry, and I have always operated in this way, is to work closely with research communities and the advocacy groups of hemoglobinopathies to give that visibility, to advocate to governments, and whether it's national or regional, to have a look at funding neonatal screening, which in my mind has a very big positive impact on society, identifying neonates that are afflicted by these very serious diseases. Education is fundamental to that. We started looking at putting efforts into education in Africa back in early 2019, when we had a symposium in South Africa and brought in some of the world's leading experts in the field of sickle cell, including Professor Kwaku, who we all know unfortunately has recently left us. But the idea was bringing these very important people in the field to increase the education among researchers, and also to give these very important people the platform for them to exchange ideas and spend time and everything, something which is oftentimes missing within the hemoglobinopathy research community. Our effort in Africa is expanding. We are currently working very closely with the University of Cape Town, setting up a center of excellence for both neonatal screening and adult testing of sickle cell disease. And again, the idea being to help in bringing attention and visibility to this, this, disease. And I have found that probably the most effective way is to help, setting up these centers that can generate the data to demonstrate just how serious and prevalent, these, diseases are. And, that's what we're working with, University of Cape Town on, and we hope to expand that with other groups to advocate and to bring visibility of this disease throughout the continent, which in turn will hopefully attract funding, additional funding like is currently being provided with the NIH, which we also work with, and other groups. So we will be actively working with different groups, in particular helping with the registries and identifying all the people that are out there that we know just haven't been properly identified or registered as suffering from this disease. I am convinced that one of the best ways to overcome many of the challenges is to highlight and to publish in a variety of journals the incidence and the severity of this disease. I have done this a lot with some key groups in Brazil with a lot of publications on an annual basis, and very, very confident that we are now embarking on partnerships that will help with the publications, with the registries, to bring that much needed visibility and to be able to advocate to national, regional, if need be, municipal governments to take this disease or diseases, I should say, as serious as they are. That's basically what I have to say to everyone. And again, I thank the organizers for allowing me to share these brief thoughts with them and with all the people currently listening to this webinar. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fernando, for sharing your thoughts. I will just share what I've felt from your presentation. The importance of generating big data of conditions or diseases that we do see. Two is advocacy. Basically, sell data and other global parties. Then lastly, what I thought was key to increase the number of publications that come out of these diseases, whether it's leukemia, whether it's Postel, like it's any other disorder, we think is very important to the African population. And at this moment, I would like to welcome one of our support group members. Katie, you're welcome. Katie is from Zambia, and she's a member of the Society of Zambia. Katie, you're welcome. You can please unmute and share just your thoughts on opportunities and challenges in this. You're welcome.
I think Katie dropped off the network, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Let's hope that she will join back. I think we can have a few thoughts and ideas from the members who are present. So anyone who would like to share, and kindly raise their hand and shall unmute you and you can share to the rest of the group. This is really an opportunity for us to discuss research challenges and opportunities. So, please, thank you, and you're welcome.
Um, there, unfortunately, your sound is not very good. If I can repeat what you're saying, I think you mentioned that if people want to engage in the discussion, they can raise their hands and we will unmute them. So that's correct, right?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mario. I just need to connect a little bit more over.
Noted.
So, Mario, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
As members of what they would like to discuss, I would want to take a little stab at what Nando talked about with regard to publication. Some of the experiences that we have seen is that big journals that do publish information don't want to hear about our prevalent studies. They feel that there is a lot of information out there that is already known. However, when you do literature reviews, you find that all the information is outside of Africa and does not really include the population of Africa, I believe. I don't know what the thoughts are of most of the members within this discussion. Over to you, Mario.
Okay. I hope you people could hear what Dio was saying. So my understanding of what he was saying is that a lot of the international journals are reluctant to publish research. I think it's regarding sickle cell or just diseases from Africa in general, if that's what you said. So there's a reluctance from journals to publish this information. And when you do a literature review of all of this information, or that you think is relevant for your study in Africa, African diseases, there's a lot of the information is outside of Africa, or the patient information or information or clinical data is from outside of Africa. Are there any thoughts on that? I'm going to give the panelists a chance to respond first, but if anybody in the audience would like to respond, please raise your hands and we'll unmute you. Valentina, I saw your mic was unmuted. Do you want to add something to that?
No, I wanted you to repeat what Deo said because I did not listen very well.
Yeah. So there's a reluctance, it appears, for international journals to publish date or publish papers or information from Africa. If I understood Deo correctly, and then I think specifically for these neglected diseases, if I can call it that, and then when you look at what is published on sickle cell, for example, or diseases pertaining to Africa, then there is a most of the data on which papers are based come from outside of Africa. I don't know whether I'm clear, Valentina. Deo, if I missed what you said, please do. Okay. Deo say, yes, Mario, that is what I wanted to share. So please, Valentina, if you have any thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Most of the study did in sickle cell disease are published outside. It's only now these recent years with the sickle in Africa, Julie McCartney and Ambrose that are bringing up specific studies led by Africans, because the other studies were led by people from the diaspora, and they just give us some feedback. And there are not many studies that are done in the ancestral population, because all these studies outside are done on at mixed population. That is why we do have the necessity, the urgent necessity to work on sickle cell patients from Africa, as sickle in Africa is doing now. Yeah.
Thanks, Valentina. Deo, so anybody in the audience, please raise your hand. If you want to add or ask a question, please do so, and we'll send you an unmute request. Fernando, do you have any thoughts on that? I know it may not necessarily be up your creek, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, actually, I think that, again, one has to have a starting point, to get, publications out there. And one of the ways that I've seen is,
please go ahead. Another.
Claudia, do you want to comment? Okay.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm Claudia Bonini from Brazil. And I have some problems with the English, but I have here Lucas, my assistant, and that helped me with some things. So we have a lot of things to point here, okay? Agradecer pelas apresentações.
Hey guys, Roger would like to thank you for all that you presented here.
And o que eu puder ajudar com o nosso programa, uma experiência no nosso programa de triagem neonatal, estou à disposição.
And feel free to ask us for help with the neonatal triage. And then we can help you with in every way we can. So feel free to ask us if you need anything.
Okay. Claudia, before you continue, pardon. Could you introduce yourself? Maybe just give us context as to where you're from, so that we know who we're speaking or listening to, if you please.
Sure. My name is Lucas. I'm a PhD student here in the lab. And I work with Claudia for about like 9 years now. And then I'm here helping her with the language so we can all communicate properly.
Yeah. Which institution are you from? Which country? I assume it's Brazil. Brazil.
We are from UNESP, an university here in Brazil, in the state of São Paulo.
Okay. Please, most welcome. Please, Claudia, please continue.
Posso contribuir também com a formação de pessoas e com as publicações. Nós temos bastante experiência na publicação de resultados de triagem e de outras pesquisas em anemia falciforme.
So we also can help you with training some people in the research and trials for the hemoglobinopathies. And also we have some experience with publishing articles not only related to the trials, but also with results of researches. So we can provide some help with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Lucas. We also have collaboration with Barbara Prieti from Brazil. So she's an active part of the Sicilian African Consortium. So thank you very much for the offer. You can reach out, I think, to, I think you would be able to chat to people in the group. I'm not too sure, but you also, you know, if you provide us with your details, contact details, we'll be happy to reach out.
Okay. So this is Fernando again. So just quickly. So, I've worked with Claudia for maybe 20 years at this point, and she's been able to, with her group, she generally has 3 or 4 PhDs that go through her program, and we've been pretty successful after a while to get publications into hematology and some of the other important journals. And getting back to the original question is on how to overcome those barriers of lack of publications. one of the things that is, of course, key, and you just mentioned a partnership with a professor in Brazil and so forth. I think that is key to overcome those initial areas. I know that whether it's people out of the NIH, we are currently working with a doctor in the NIH who's looking at glycation rates of people with sickle cell disease. So those type of studies, I think, are really good opportunities to get involved with these type of studies where there'll be a very, very good chance, for example, of this particular doctor's results on this. And even though it's not directly related to, say, sickle cell disorder, it's, of course, looking at a specific aspect of the impact of sickle cell on something as important as glycation. So that would be my biggest advice is to, as often as possible, I'm sure this is not new, to have partners that maybe have a bit more of access to publications and as a starting point, and then of course start getting publications of your own accepted into journals. One of the things that I heard early on that is a challenge maybe is just the ability to write proposed publications in such a way that they have a better chance of being published. And that is definitely something as was just offered by Professor Domingos, and we can facilitate again other people working with other ones that have successfully published to maybe give some insight and some guidance and some training on that aspect. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. I'll just ask Vicky, do you want to make a good comment? Over to you, Vicky.
Yes, thank you, Dio, for this webinar and for moderating and organizing it. And thank you for the speakers. I think I agree with most of the discussions that have happened so far. And one of the things I just wanted to point out, an opportunity that we'll start advertising from tomorrow. We are advertising because one of our mandates really is to build capacity in sickle cell disease research. So we'll be advertising fellowships, which will be available in the seven countries that or six countries that we are officially supporting in the SPACO, the SPACO sites in Tanzania, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Mali, Uganda, and Ghana. And also South Africa, so it's seven. So I think this is just to highlight to any fellows or potential fellows who might be online, who might be interested in applying. But I also wanted to indicate the importance of, academic and private partnerships. At the moment, we are currently finalizing a partnership with Trinity Biotech to try and increase capacity detection of sickle cell disease in patients or in the general population. And we'll also be hosting that training here at UCT, supported by Trinity Biotech. And this would not have been possible without, the support that they're going to provide. And once that's also finalized, I think we'll circulate that. So I think it's important that maybe there is a portal of training activities so that everyone can benefit from the capacity development activities around, skill sets within the sickle cell disease domain and other related areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicky, for highlighting those key opportunities. The only thing I would like you to remind the members who are listening is where shall they access, on which website, such that they're able to know.
Sure, Dale. I think I will post the, yes, thank you, Dale. I'll post the Circle in Africa website on the chat box, but the opportunity will be available by early tomorrow morning, and we'll circulate it again via the mailing list. You probably got this announcement via the info of Circle in Africa or Ashray Bayonet. Ashray Africa will circulate through the, you know, commonly used, networks, and we'll do the same as well when the training that we are partnering with Trinity Biotech is ready for advertising. So I'll paste the Circle in Africa website in a few minutes. I think Rex asked, can a person from Zambia apply for the fellowship? Yes, definitely they can. Definitely they can, because we've got a site in Zambia. Thank you
very, very, very much, Vicky, for highlighting those opportunities. And like we mentioned, we are really looking at collaboration. We're looking at such opportunities that can help us answer some of the challenges that we do have. I do want to share with the members that one of our speakers, Katie, who is a member of the Zambia Sickle Cell Society, has not been able to rejoin us, mainly due to connectivity issues. And that's also something that I think in Africa we need to push. We need to improve our overall connectivity. One of our key human rights, access to internet. So I will open up our discussion for the next 5-10 minutes, then thereafter we'll close on the hour. Thank you.
Leo, could you please repeat?
With regard to, so I was saying that I would like to open up the discussion for the next 5-10 minutes as we move towards the top of the hour, so that we can use remaining time effectively. And I also wanted to ask Valentina, from her experience, whether she can share with us some of the other challenges that she has had within laboratory medicine. Thank you.
Thank you, Deo. For my experience, it was very hard. For the PhD, I applied for the TWAS fellowship. It was a really small grant that was permitting me to do only the genetic testing, because the first funding was from the family to collect all the samples, and I've got this small grant to go to South Africa to do the genetic testing. But for the postdoc, I did have another fellowship from WACDIF, and that was just networking. That is what I'm saying, talking about the information. Because it was networking, they sent me a mail that there is this WACDIF that is recruiting postdocs. Then I applied for that. Then we went for interview, and it was successful. So just what I want to highlight here is, as Vicky said now, to share the information when we have, because in Africa, we don't have the culture of looking for the information. Because when I had this fellowship, all my colleagues and friends were coming to me every time. I want to have a fellowship like you, because they don't know where to go to have the information. So I was just lucky for that, to have a mentor that was holding my hand to go forward. But many people do not have that luck, because I was also talking about the mentorship, the lack of mentorship. As people have the information now, as we have now Circle in Africa, as Vicky was saying, try to share the information among people for them to apply. And even though we share the information, they do not know how to apply. You know, African, we are so lazy to read. When you start to read, do this step, at some point the person will stop and say, no, it's too long, it's too difficult. So we must try to train people, even if we give them the information, we must try to train people on how to apply for a grant, even how to write, yes, and how to apply for the grant. So that was the thing I did with Professor Ambrose, who helped me a lot for that. So as I say, I was very lucky to go through that way, but it's difficult for many people, many people to succeed there. I don't know if you have more questions. I'm available.
Thank you, Valentina. I think you have been able to share your experience and also to share the importance.
Dio, we missed the audio from you, Valentina, sharing the importance of, and that's where we lost you. Can you hear us? I think this once again.
Hello, Mario. Can you hear me?
Now we can. Yes, please go ahead. So we lost you after Valentina showing. I lost the idea as well. Please go ahead.
Okay, I dropped off. I hope you had my last comment before I.
No, we did not. So we lost the last.
No,
3 minutes.
No, we did not have any.
We lost the last 2 or 3 minutes.
So what else? Okay, great. So what I was trying to highlight is the importance of having a mentor with regards to supporting your research career. It's very important to have that, and each person should be able to look for one or search for one. Or pick one from somewhere to help them guide. We do have Katie. Katie, have you joined? Mario, could you make Katie a co-host?
She's already co-host.
As we close.
Sure. Okay. Katie, you're able to unmute.
Sent a message. Oh, great.
Network chat.
I think the issues that we're having with people connecting is just highlights and underscores what Dio was saying about.
Are you sharing her? Because I am not.
No, I think her audio may have dropped off. I think it just highlights what you were pointing out about network connectivity for Africa. Katie, can you hear? Dio, could you just test your mic so we can see?
She's trying to talk, but I'm not hearing her.
No, I think we've lost audio for. So I think maybe we should. Katie, you want to try again?
Her mic is unmuted, but we're not getting any audio feed.
Yeah, no, I think that's also related to network. Speed and yeah, latency. So, Dale, I think as much as I hate to do this, I think we're reaching the top of the hour. Yes. Dale, I'm sorry. I don't know whether it's just me. But your audio is very, very soft.
Yeah, we can't hear him at all.
Okay. I shout. You can hear me. Your audio is still very soft.
I am a generally soft person, Mario, you know that.
I do know, but I don't think even shouting is going to make a difference. But once again, in short, it highlights the issue and connectivity issue in Africa, and it's a big thing that needs to be given attention. And yeah, so This is very unfortunate. Dale, I think I'm going to give you the last. Yes.
Okay, great. So let me quickly say thank you to everyone for joining us for the webinar and for all the presenters. In case you have not heard me, Mario will relay my thanks. And we hope that we can do this every year going forward to celebrate the World Sickle Cell Day. Thank you all and have a good evening, a good morning, and a good night to you. Bye.
Thanks, Dale. So Dale was just thanking everybody and saying that we should do this regularly every year on commemorating Sickle Cell Day. Paida, I'm going to give you the honors of saying the last word. Thanks, Paida, for arranging this webinar. I'll give you the opportunity to thank the speakers. Over to you, Paida, please.
Thank you very much, Mario. And thank you very much, Dale, for being such a great moderator for this webinar this afternoon. I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to Fernando and Valentina for making time and for everyone who's participated. I think the turnout was really great. Thank you for taking our time this afternoon or morning, depending on where you are in the world, to join us today. And we do hope to collaborate with some of you in the future and to see some of you joining the fellowship program. And if you need any more information from Sickle in Africa, please feel free to contact either myself or Vicky or Mario. I think Mario can just quickly type our email addresses in the comments. And please visit our website for more opportunities and events that we'll host in the future. Thank you again, everyone, and have a good evening, afternoon, morning. Thanks.
Thanks, Paida. Bye. Bye, Mario. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Okay.